The grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration this evening is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we talk about money. And I'm sure usually on a day like this, it's usually we have like 50 or 60 visitors and they're going to say, oh, they just talk about money, money, money. I think I was assigned the same thing last year too, thanks to Pastor Hennick. So here I go again about money. We need more of it. Amen. Would you like that? Because that's probably what your sinful nature will be saying to yourself the entire night. What was the sermon about? Well, they need more money. Nothing can be further from the truth than that. You know, what are you going to do with all your money? No. What are you going to do with all the money that God has given to you? Everything you have is his. Everything. What are you going to do with it? I know some of you are probably saying, well, no, I worked hard for that money. Well, then who gave you the skills? Who gave you the intelligence to produce that money? Who gave you the inheritance with the money that you now enjoy? Who gave it to you? Did it just appear? No. Came from God. And for those of you who are saying, well, no, I still worked hard for that money, let us listen what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians here. It says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Well, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't give any money to become children of God. We are children of God, okay? We don't give money to secure our place there in heaven because we know that we have heaven through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we going to thank him? I know we always talk about time and talents. What about our treasures? We all have treasures. We all have money. Does he want it all? No, he doesn't want it all. But he's honored. He's glorified when we give some back to him who's given us everything. You know, when's the last time that you've counted your blessings? Your daily blessings. Maybe we kind of forget about all those daily blessings that we have. And if you really think about it, though, there are so many blessings there that we kind of overlook. You know, for example, let's say these are 6,000 BBs for my son's BB gun. And they're not BBs, but these are going to represent bountiful blessings, okay, from God. that we receive each and every day. Every day we receive all these wonderful blessings, and it keeps going and going and going. And you're going, wow, that's a lot of blessings. Probably not looking at my life. I don't have that many blessings in my life. But you know what? If you just really think about it and look in your life, you see all these blessings that God gives to us each and every day. This is the blessing I received the other day. The smile from my daughter. You know, what a blessing that is. Especially 3 years ago when she didn't have any braces on. Now they're all straightening out. Thank you, God. You know, and over here, this is for the 100,000 times my heart beats every day. Wow. 100,000 times. We don't even think about it, do we? Where does this all come from? It comes from God. And over here, let's see, we have blessing. Blessing of, thank you, God, for giving me a thermostat. I don't have a wood stove. I don't have to put wood in that stove all the time. I can just turn it up, especially in the next few days and everything. Thank you for that blessing. And, oh, look at this. Thank you, dear Lord, for the speedy recovery. I thought I was going to be down for 2 weeks. I started getting sick last weekend, and I'm already better. I'm pretty much all better. I'm fine, and my voice is there. Thank you for that speedy recovery. And over here, you know what? The blessing of protecting me, taking that one turn a little too fast on Snowy Road the other day. You know, a tree was right there, and he kept me on that road, no problem. Thank you, Lord. You know, and over here we have, you know, Lori, and we have, you know, Tristan, Brendan, and Taylor. And here we have all the good food that my wife makes for me. Here we have the exercise equipment so I can take some of those pounds back off so I can enjoy more of her food. And here we have a BB. I'm thankful for Pastor Hennick, who's going to put all these BBs back in here for me after the service. Thank you. Blessing. So many blessings that God gives to us. What's happening in our lives each and every day? God is showering His blessings on us. If we just open up our eyes. You know, but more importantly, we see other blessings from God. Here is that first day I really understood that, wow, my sins have been washed clean. I am a child of God. Thank you for that day. And over here, thank you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And thank you. I come here with my guilt tonight, but my guilt is real. But I thank you, my dear Lord, for giving me your real blood and body that was given and shed for me. Thank you for reminding me of that. So many blessings. What are we going to do with all these blessings that God gives to us? He wants us to use them on ourselves and on our families and on other people too. He wants us to enjoy these blessings and enjoy them. And I mean, don't feel bad that you're using these blessings. But God says, can you give me some back? How many are we going to return to Him? Are we going to go, well, let's see. 6,000 blessings daily. Well, actually, maybe I'm going to have to take a few of those out. That's your sinful nature talking. Take a few out. This is how we thank our gracious God for everything He gives to us. Again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything like that. Remember, now don't listen to your sinful nature who's preaching to you right now. See, it's all about money. He's going to make us feel bad so that we get more. No, we don't need to give God anything. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't. God doesn't need anything. But when we stop and comprehend and we give a little bit back or a lot back, whatever you decide, He is glorified. You know, can you imagine if I made a cake to feed the entire congregation here tonight, and I'd ask one of you to serve it, and he served all the pieces, and I come there for my piece, and it's all gone? I made the cake. It's kind of what God does for us. He makes us everything. And sometimes we forget to say, oh, thank you, Lord. Here's a portion of what you have given to me back. And now, tonight in our text, we hear about the Corinthians. And the Corinthians is a great congregation. They had their problems, but at this point, everything was going pretty good. Everything they were excelling in, and even in the grace of giving. And so much they didn't even look at themselves. They heard about their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem who were in extreme poverty, and there was a special collection so that, they could be fed down there in Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, everything's going fine, and then the devil throws his seed into this congregation, and these seeds of destruction start to grow, and this congregation, and it can happen to any congregation, is down for a 9 count until the Apostle Paul comes and resuscitates it with the gospel, showing them why they are there and who they believe and what a bright future they have. And now they're all back on track, this congregation, except in one area. They kind of forgot about their maybe pledge or whatever that they said they were going to help out their Christian brothers and sisters down in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul says, bring that to completion. And now the Corinthians had every reason to say, well, we just can't. We've been through a lot this year and everything, and I'm sure you understand. And then the Apostle Paul gives them this wonderful example of the Macedonian churches, who were also under extreme poverty. And they weren't even going to be asked to take part of this special collection because of their extreme poverty. But they wanted to be a part of this collection. They looked upon this collection as a privilege to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. And we hear about that in our text again. It says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. They wanted to do this, not under compulsion. You better do this. No, they wanted to take part of this. You know, here I am. Send me. I want to help. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. On their own. Oh, pastor wasn't looking over and saying, okay, what? No, not at all. Entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And the saints are, again, believers. Another name for believers. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Now, why would they do this? They're experiencing extreme poverty themselves. Were they insane? No, they were in grace. They saw the big picture. They saw that this life is just a matter of years, and then we have heaven. They saw the big picture. They saw that this life is just really our temporary residence, our tent, sweet tent, not our home, sweet home. Our home awaits for us in heaven. They saw the big picture. You know, they wanted to give everything from the little that they had. And what would inspire them to do this? Our text tells us. When it says this, for they knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for their sakes he became poor, so that they, through his poverty, might become rich. And that's what they exactly did. They kept viewing and kept in focus what Jesus did for them. He emptied himself out, not just 25%, completely. Completely. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, emptied himself completely because he didn't have you. He wanted you, and he did everything willingly, and he laid out his life generously so so that he could have you, me, and all. And just like the Apostle Paul said this to the Romans, he said this in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, okay, he's talking to us, in view of God's mercy, very important part there, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We're not to offer our bodies like work righteousness, and this is how we can thank God. But no, in view of God's mercy, first you find yourself in God's mercy. You continue to view what he has done for us. And when we see again and again what he has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us, how can I say thank you? Giving back to him who has given us his all. Not everything back, not half of all we have back, whatever you decide in your heart. Notice in our text, it doesn't say how much. It just says that they gave. It doesn't matter how much we give, it's the attitude we give it to the Lord, joyfully and generously. You know, knowing him, our Lord, we no longer have to struggle, right? Those big questions that maybe our children or grandchildren ask us. What happens when I die? What happens when you, Grandpa, die? I'm going to heaven, and it's a trillion times better than here. And I'll be waiting for you. And how can we say that? How can we say that with confidence? Because we know Jesus. How much would you pay for that? Just think if we did not have Jesus. Or maybe it's a family member who's really fallen away from the Lord in every which way. But you know what? We have that wonderful invitation back to the Lord who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, your sins are great, but God's grace is greater. Yes, there's always a new entrance for those who are filled with guilt, and it's Jesus. There is a way out for them, and his name is Jesus. How are you going to acknowledge all this divine information? Because God doesn't charge us a dime. It's all free. But when we take some time to acknowledge him with our offerings, he is glorified. You know, money is really a common thread that kind of gets us from one stage of life to the next stage. Right? I'm sure the little ones, do they love money? Sure, they love money. Teenagers, do you love money? Yeah, I'm sure you love money. You can go buy more iTunes, right? A lot of other things. You know, young adults, you know, looking to maybe get married. You love money? Of course you love money. I'm not saying, you know, we desire it. You know, money, you know, definitely helps. It definitely does help. You know, middle age, you know, well, maybe, you know, to pay that mortgage off. Thank you. Seniors, do you enjoy money? Are you happy with money? Yes, because it's some security. It's, you know, you cherish that. You know, all these things that God gives to us, or I guess just going back, all this money, this thread that God gives to us from every stage is really kind of like a modern day, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember when God put that in the Garden of Eden? Why would he do that? You know, all these trees are yours, but don't have that one. Every time Adam and Eve passed by, and every day they did, would not eat from that tree, God was glorified. Every day we have money in our hands. We write our bills and we put gas in the car, and we buy things for ourselves. So it's always there with us. But you know what? When we take a little time and say, you know, thank you, Lord, for this. And may we always remember to get through some of the obstacles, because you know what? When we bring our offerings to the Lord, we're not giving it to Emmanuel. We're not giving it to a budget. We are giving it to the Lord. I know that every other Sunday we always have a continuous flow or from pew method for the Lord's Supper. Maybe we should have ushered and a non-usher offering, you know, on the second Sunday of every month and the fourth Sunday of every month, instead of having them collect the offering, maybe we all stand in line and place our offering to, or right there on the altar. And as we're standing there, maybe we reflect on all the blessings God has given to us. This is just one way we can say thank you to our gracious God. And we can also acknowledge our Lord, not just on a weekly basis, but it's a whole daily thing. Let me just explain to you. I know that what I'm going to be giving, God willing, this next year, hopefully. But you know what? I also, every day when something goes my way, like for example, I thought I'd have a $4,000 dental payment that was going to be coming around the corner, but you know what? It's only going to have to be $1,000. Oh, well, great. You know, more for me? No, well, I'm not saying I'm giving $3,000 to the Lord or anything, but I'm going to thank you, Lord. You saved a lot of money there. Thank you. Or maybe when we look at our thermostats or our heating bills and everything, and we have this in our budget of how much money we are anticipated on spending this year, but the mild winter, and you know, our heating bills, you know, hey, that's an opportunity. Thank you, Lord. And again, none of this, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is demanded. Okay? It's not demanded. But I look at all of you. And I see citizens of heaven still stuck in this world. Are we going to wait to heaven before we worship the Lord? Or maybe we can start worshiping the Lord with our time, and all of you are right now taking time out of your day, with our talents, as we work together, reaching more and more, and with our treasures. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, praise God with your lives and your offerings, and do so cheerfully and generously. Why do we praise God? Because he is the one from whom all blessings flow today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.